welcome to class today. We're going to spend today reviewing for the exam. There will be no new material. Before we begin, though, are there any questions or requests to make of me? Okay. Yes.
So last in the lab yesterday, I found out that you can use this to refer to the constructor, the object the constructor gives you at first.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So you're welcome to do this. This is not something we've taught you, and therefore not something you'll be responsible for on the exam.
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about how it works?
No.
Okay. Other questions? Yes.
Help understanding static.
Static. All right. We'll talk about static a little bit here in a moment. Okay. Let me start, though, with some general review points. So, exam in class on Monday, normal meeting time. I believe all LNEC and excused absences have been dealt with. If you disagree, now is the time to make sure that either the LNEC or I am aware of that. So what will be on the test? You will write code. There can certainly be questions where you might have to think about what the code ought to look like, given just a description of what something should do. You've got 50 minutes. You'll also have to read code, tell us what it's doing. But you won't have to do some things. So one thing you won't have to do is write in a complete class implementation. Okay? Maybe responsible for pieces, but not the whole thing. We will not intentionally test things that were on test one again. But it is hard to write test two without referring to most of the concepts that were tested in test one in some way. So you should still know that material. We're not going to set out to test it again. You will never need to know about import. If you feel like the answer to any question involves the word import, you are wrong. Okay? We're not testing your knowledge of imports in any way on this exam. So what have we talked about? We've talked about arrays and ArrayLists. We've talked about methods. We've talked about classes. So we'll get to the question about static and methods in a moment, but let's start with arrays and ArrayLists. What should you know about them? How to use them? So how to define, create, store in, and read from an array, the split method, and CSV files. Hopefully you've had plenty of experience there, and that is not particularly difficult for you. You should know how to both interpret array code we give you and write your own. You should know how to interpret 2D array code, where the type of thing in an array is another array. You won't, however, need to know how to write it, just how to read what it's doing. Okay? You should know how to use array lists. So both how to write and read that code, and how ArrayLists and arrays are different. So the get set versus square brackets, size parentheses versus length without parentheses, and the ability to add things to remove things from ArrayLists, which you do not have for arrays. Before you get to methods, any questions about arrays or ArrayLists you would like me to address? Okay. Methods. You should know the pieces of a method definition. The public-private, and what public and private means. Static versus non-static. We will address what static means, but we'll do it more as we're talking about classes, because it makes more sense in that environment. Return types, and void being a return type. Name, parameters, body, right? The various pieces of a method. You should know the difference between defining a method, describing how to do something, and invoking the method, going out and doing it. You should know what return statements do, right? They do two things. They give back a value, and they stop the method. And there's little things associated with this. For example, if your method is not void, you must have a return statement so we know what value comes back. And if you have a return statement, you can't have another line of code after it because the return statement ends the method. You should know both how to look at a method and tell us what it does, and how to create your own methods. So, accepting the static question we will get to with classes. Questions about methods? Yes? We will get to that when we talk about classes. So I will address that question, but just not yet. Yes?
How do you know when to make it void?
How do you know when to make it void? What does void mean? Doesn't return anything. So how do you know if a method should return something? Okay? So in general, most methods we can break down into sort of two types. So let me put something here where I can write questions. So the question was, when void? Okay? Answer, if nothing returned. Which is a simple way of saying, alright, so when is nothing returned? You don't return anything if, in general, how do I want to put this? How about some methods' purpose is to compute something. Okay? So, methods like square root in the math library, and like read CSV in the homework you just did, and like getters in class code, and so on. Their goal is to give you something. Clearly, they are not void, because they're returning something. Some methods' purpose is to change something. And those are usually void. Okay? So, for example, println's goal is to change what the console looks like. Purple map's goal was to change what you see on the screen and change what files exist because you saved an image. These type of methods are usually void. You can still add a return type to those methods if there is also something meaningful to be returned. But in general, your methods fall into one of those two categories. Do you want me to speak more about void?
Yeah.
Great. Yes?
How are we going to have to know this?
How do you know about this? This is related to classes, so I'll get to that in just a moment. I will keep a note of the things that I have said I'm delaying until I talk about classes. So we've got static, and we've got this. We'll talk about both of those in a moment. Other questions about methods? Yes? Can I explain parameters? Yes. I will give a very fast explanation first, and if you don't like that, we'll go into more detail. Parameters are the variables that are in the parentheses when you define your method. Do you want me to say more about it than that? That's it. All right. That was fast. Yes?
Why does the main method take the parameter string?
Why does main take the parameter args? This is historical. So, back when, I forgot his name. Anyway, the guy that wrote C and Unix. I should know his name. Anyway, there was some guy that early in computing that designed the Unix operating system that most operating systems now exist descended from, and the C language that most languages now in use descended from. And he decided, when you run a program, you should give me a list of strings so that I know what you want me to do. And we're stuck with it. Because every computer system out there assumes you'll give it a list of strings, and so it's still there. Almost all the time, if you have a graphical interface, as most of us use, icons you click on instead of things you type, the array of strings is empty. But it's just sort of a historical holdover. Other questions about methods? Okay. Then we'll talk about classes. We've already got two questions about that, but let's just review what we should know about classes first. So you know what a class is. You know how to pick fields for a class, how to use a class in code. You should know what fields are and how to write them, what methods are, how to write them. You should know about the special methods, getters, setters, and constructors. Okay. You should know how to draw a UML class diagram like you did in lab yesterday and in class earlier this week. And you should be able to draw those. The memory box drawings we did in class earlier are not something we consider testable because we have not talked enough about how you design a good one versus a bad one. But the UML class diagrams are testable in and of themselves. So you should know how to draw them and how to take them and turn them into code like you did in lab last week. Because of snow delays, you will not be asked to write a complete code. We lost 3 whole days of class. We are a little behind as a consequence. So we'll put that on the final. You will, however, be asked to take pieces of class and write them. Okay? So we may give you a partial implementation and ask you to finish it. We may say, just write these methods from the UML class diagram, something like that. any piece, the first line of it, the field definitions, method definitions, any part of that is fair game. So, we've already received two questions related to classes, static and this. So, let me start with static. Static means not part of a particular, not part of each object of this type. I think that's a good way to describe this. We use classes to do two different tasks, at least. Okay? Let's say we use them to do three different tasks. We use them to be programs. A program class is one with a main method in it. The goal is to run it. Okay? And the main method is the thing that's interesting in a program style class. We have some classes its purpose is to have methods we can use for various purposes. The math class, for example, has square root and sine and cosine and all these methods. They're designed to be used other places. It isn't describing a type of thing. It's not extending the number of types I have in the language. It's just providing a bunch of methods. And then we have classes, the purpose of which is to add new types to what we can do in Java. Right? So we describe what we mean when we talk about boxes, or when we talk about bags, or when we talk about elephants, or when we talk about whatever it is we're talking about. Rectangles, songs, strings, whatever. The classes that are programs have public static void main. The classes that are providing libraries of methods that we can use, all of those are static. But if we're describing an object, we don't make them static. Okay? Static does not belong to an object. It's one of the other purposes of a class. So if I want it to belong to an object, I want to describe what I mean by this type of thing, I don't use static. If I have any other goal for what I'm writing, I do use static. Questions, comments, things I should clarify beyond that? Yes?
So when describing object, you do not use static.
When describing object, you do not use static. There are technically exceptions to this, but as a general rule, this is a good rule of thumb. It will work almost all the time, including all the cases we'll see in class. There's a hand over here. Yes?
So can you elaborate on the not part of each object of this type? Can you say, the class that has static as a description?
Okay. Why did that not do anything? There we are. Okay, let's make... What shall we model? Let's model puppies. Okay, so I'm going to make a puppy class. Yikes! That's weird. Okay, so apparently my network drive just collapsed. Let's try that again. Puppy. Okay, so I'm going to make a puppy class. The purpose of this class is to describe puppies. Okay, so I'm going to have fields and methods. And because their purpose is to describe puppies, they will all be non-static, right? So I might have, color, fur, color. Okay, and let me import that. I might have double, weight, things that describe puppies. These should be private because they are fields. They don't have to be, but they should be. I might also have methods, things that puppies can do, like what do puppies do? How about public void shed? Okay, which actually, what will that do? That will change the fur color. So we'll change this is fur color to be pink because all the hair is gone. Okay. So I might have a shed method, I might have a, let's have a getter. Let's have a double get weight. Okay, just returns, this is weight. I might have some of these things. Okay, now, all of these are not static. I don't have the word static for any of these fields or methods, so they are talking about each dog. Each dog will have its own fur color, each dog will have its own weight, each dog will have its own ability to shed. When one dog sheds, the other of the dogs don't. They'll have their own get weight method. I ask one dog for its weight, none of the other dogs respond. Okay? I could, if I wanted, also put some static stuff in the puppy class, which in general is unlike the other things I am doing. Okay? So far, the non-static stuff is describing a dog. Every puppy that I have has these things. But I could also put some, let's make a public static, how about, what do we want? How about genus equals, I believe, public static string genus. Okay? So the genus of a dog is canis, I think. I don't know. I'm not a biologist. Okay? This is not an attribute of a particular dog. It's just sort of a field that I'm associating with the concept of puppy. Okay? So no matter what puppy I'm talking about, this genus remains. Question. In the back.
How is that different from just declaring a private string genus? Is that because it's just always...
If it's static...
If it's color, then it would be a static, a public static string.
Yeah, so static means... Each puppy doesn't have their own copy. There's one copy shared by the whole concept of puppy. Okay? So I can say puppy.genus because it's static. I don't have to talk about a particular puppy's genus to get the genus. It's shared by them all. Just like I can say math.py. I don't have to talk about a particular math object to get pi out. It's shared by all math. We're saying this genus of canis is shared by all puppy. All of puppy kind has one copy. And if somebody comes along and changes the genus, it will change all puppy's genus because there is just the one. It is static. It does not change when I look at different objects. It is shared by them all. Okay? It is unusual. It's very unusual to have a class that has both static and non-static stuff in it. You have to work hard to come up with an example where that makes sense. So usually, your class will either be describing an object and nothing will be static, or will not be describing an object and everything will be static. Usually it's one of the two. Okay? But if you're mixing and matching, then static means shared by everybody of this type, and non-static means each person has their own way of doing it. Yes?
Similar to like final.
Final means it may never change. Okay? So if I make it final, code is not allowed to assign to it. I'm not allowed to change the genus of puppies. And probably the genus of puppies should be considered final in the sense that I don't want random code coming along and changing puppies to have a different genus. But if I did want to change the genus of puppies, I would not make it final. Or if I was writing an application that was dealing with, I don't know, board of biologists changing the classification of animals, then if they change one puppy, I'd want them to change them all, and I wouldn't make it final. Yes?
How would you write the code to change the genus?
How would I, if it was final or was not final?
Was not.
If it's not final, let's change it back to not being final. We can say, okay, let's write some code that messes around with the genus. So over here in my main method, I am going to, let's first check out what the genus is. So let's print out puppy.genus. Okay. So I'll print out the genus of puppies twice, and in between I will say that the genus of puppies should be, I don't know, what should our new genus of puppies be? Unknown. Okay. It used to be that all puppies had the genus canis. Now they all have the genus unknown. It's just an assignment statement. If I wanted to prevent people from doing this, I would make it final so they couldn't, or I would make it private and make static methods for interacting with it inside the public puppy class. questions about static? Okay. We had a question about this. What should we know about this? Actually, let's get some particular questions. What do people want to know about this? Anybody have something in particular they want to know about this?
How is it used?
Okay. Let's make some sub-questions. How is it used? Anything else we want to know about this? Yes?
When is it used?
When is it used? And in the back. Okay, and there was another hand. Nope, it's gone. Yes?
Why
is it used? Great, let me guess what the next one is. Yes?
Sorry, what specific object is
talking? What object is this talking about? Yeah?
Other words that you can use when you learn things like that or other.
Are there other words like this in Java? Yeah? Please draw memory. I'm going to make that a separate question. Unless you meant draw memory picture of this in particular. Nope. Okay. While we're at it, other questions I should add to my general queue of questions to answer in this hour? Yes?
We have to draw UML that.
Question already answered. Other questions? Yes? Please plan a. Okay? Yeah? UML style. Yeah?
How do I delete all those stars at the same time?
How do I do funky things with Eclipse? Yeah? Okay, we've got pass by blank. Anything else to add? We can, of course, add later. But if I have them all up front, I can try to organize them in a sensible fashion. All right. All right, well, let's start with this. Which one of these questions do I want to talk about first? Let's talk about this one first, actually. What is the object talking about? Why is it used? How is it used? When is it used? What are the other words? All right. So, I'll give an answer and then I'll show an example. What object is this talking about? First, let me describe it and then I'll see if I can summarize it briefly. If I look at my shed method for puppies, when I'm writing the puppy class, I haven't talked about any particular puppy object. I'm talking about the concept that puppies can shed. Okay? But when a puppy sheds, some puppy has to do the shedding. So when I'm writing a class, this refers to the object in question. The object that's I'm talking about, the object that is doing whatever is being done. So in my shed method, this is the object that is shedding. When I'm getting the weight, this is the puppy that I want the weight of. It is always the one I care about. Assuming there's only one I care about. We'll make a method in a moment that has two puppies we care about, okay? But usually these methods have one puppy I care about, and that puppy is called this. Okay? So what is it talking about? It is talking about the object of this type in question. Okay? The thing that is doing the behavior. There's another answer to that question. A completely different way of thinking about it. Okay? I make a puppy, p equals a new puppy. Okay? And then I don't know. I say p dot shed. Okay. When I invoke the method, the thing on the left side of the period becomes this inside the method. Okay? So just like the thing in parentheses, the arguments, become the parameter values, so the thing on the left side of the period becomes the this inside the code. Right? So it's also the object that was on the left of the dot in the invoking code. These two definitions are equivalent because that object that was on the left of the period is the object in question. It is the one I'm talking about. So depending whether you're looking from the invoker's standpoint or the implementer's standpoint, there are sort of two ways of thinking about this. They mean the same thing. Invoking code. Anyway, when we speak any more about what object this is talking about? No. Okay. Why is it used? So that when writing the method, I can talk about that object. Typically, when I am invoking a method, writing a method, defining what happens when you shed, I want to say something about the puppy that's shedding. Right? And pretty much all methods I'm writing inside of a object description class will want to talk about the object that it is describing. So I want some way of doing that. And so this is the way I do that. Okay? It is provided for the purpose of talking about that object because I'm going to want to talk about that object. There's another answer. Okay? Usually, we can leave it out. And Java will guess. Okay? But... Thanks. So, in general, if I live off this dot, Java will guess that I probably meant this dot. It's got a long list of things it will guess. This dot is one of them. Okay. Usually that'll do the right thing, but the code without the this dot, it can be ambiguous and hard to read, and it's easier to make errors. So, another way of thinking about why do I use this dot is because it makes easier, nicer code. Similar in the way the indentation makes nicer code, this dot makes nicer code. There are cases where you have to use it. And I could describe in detail when you have to use it, but instead I'm just going to say always use it. And then if something doesn't work, add it, because you should add it anyway, and then I'll get rid of those cases where you have to use it. Question about why it is used. Speak any more about that. Okay, how is it used? By adding this dot in front of something. Great. When is it used? In non-static methods to talk about when talking about this object. Okay? You can only use this in non-static methods. You cannot use it in a static method. You cannot use it outside of a method. And you use it when talking about the object in question. That is the name of the object in question, so use it there. That is where, when it is used and where it is used. I'll go ahead and add where, even though nobody actually asked that. Okay. Are there other words like this in Java? No. But we can fake it. Okay. A method is invoked on at most one object. I can't put two things in front of the dot down here. When I'm invoking a method, I cannot put two different variables here. So there is only one object in question in my method, and it is called this. And there is no other object name like that. It is just this. However, if I wanted to, public void, what do puppies do with other puppies? Play with. Okay, I can make a puppy play with another puppy, and I can name that other puppy anything I want. I will name this other puppy, how about Franklin? Okay, so there are two puppies, this and Franklin. Inside this code, I can treat this and Franklin the same as one another. Okay, they're both puppy objects. You can use them more or less interchangeably. They're talking about different puppies usually. Okay, they could be talking about the same puppy if I called p.playwithP. Okay, then they'd both be talking about p, but in general they'd be talking about different puppies. But the way I give them to them are different, right? So over here, if I make myself another puppy, okay, I can say p.playwithQ. P will always be this. It cannot be anything else. Q will become whatever I decide to name that parameter. I can change the name of the parameter. It's completely under my control. This is built into Java. Whatever my other name is not built into Java. I commonly use the word that for the other one because this and that make sense in my head. Probably the most common thing to call the other one is other. A lot of code will use other for the name instead of Franklin. Okay? But you are welcome to call it whatever you think is the right name for your method. So, I think that we have now answered all of the questions about this. Anybody want me to say anything more about this? Yes? Return and this are not obviously related. Okay? So, this means the object that I'm dealing with, and return means the value I'm giving back. It is certainly possible that what I can return can be based on this object. Okay? It could also be based off of, I don't know, we could say get mother or something. We could have a method that returns a different puppy. It's unrelated to this. Or we could even have a puppy that is its own mother, because, you know, in code we can do silly things. So I could say all puppies are their own mothers. Okay. This might make more sense if I said get best friend, because people say that dogs are man's best friend, an idiom. But in practice, I've had dogs, and dogs are dog's best friend, right? They care more about themselves than anything else. So I could have this actually be passed back or something. It's unclear why I would want to. But in general, return and this are sort of unrelated ideas. Return is what comes back when I run the method. And this is the object the method was invoked on. I don't know if that answered your question. Okay. Anything else you say about this? Yeah?
Throughout this code, is this referring to the object you made at first?
Each time each one of these methods is run, it might have a different this. Okay? I could invoke shed on lots of dogs, and each time this would be whatever dog I'm invoking it on. Okay. That was this. Please draw memory. I didn't bring the necessary equipment to draw memory, so I'll delay that because it's going to be hard to do without my graphics pad. All right. Let's do this one next. How do I do funky things with Eclipse? Okay. Answer. However you choose. I know lots of keyboard shortcuts in Eclipse, but I don't know all of them, and you're welcome to look them up. If you want to learn how to do funky things in Eclipse, They're either going to be telling you what the keyboard shortcut is, so we've got this funky Control Shift K, which does something, and who knows how that's different than Control Shift J. Okay, but you can try the menus, and when you learn what they are, you can learn the keyboard shortcuts because they're written up there. Hurrah! And then everything else is in the gigantic preferences thing in the window, and it has like multiple layers of things here, and something like, I don't know what Jigloo is, it like, got all kinds of stuff, right? And so probably somewhere in here, almost certainly somewhere in here, there is a thing where I can change the, oh, probably under the code style. I've probably got some sort of, I could probably edit the formatter and change how it deals with comments. And somewhere in here, they probably got something about the leading stars, although I don't immediately see it. Okay, there's a whole lot of things you can do with Eclipse. And if you don't see what you want, you probably can download a plugin that does it for you. Eclipse is a monster. Be nice to it, and it will be nice to you most of the time. If you want to learn how to do funky things with it, go ahead. All right. Let's do pass by next. There are languages where the pass by phrases make a lot more sense. I have not yet used these phrases in class, I don't believe. Although you're certainly welcome to listen to the podcast and prove me wrong. When I invoke a method, I give a copy of the arguments to the method. In languages that have other ways of passing methods, this is called pass-by value. There is also something called pass-by reference, where I give you the variable and you get to modify my variable. Java gets kind of close to pass-by reference because the value of an object variable is a reference to where the object is located. Okay? So if I think about my p.playwithq method here, the value stored inside the variable p is a reference to where a puppy is located. And the value that is stored within the variable q is a reference to where a puppy is located. And so when I invoke p.playwithq, this gets a copy of the reference to where p is located. And the parameter Franklin gets the copy of where q is located. And so essentially I'm passing references to the puppies, because that is what I can store in variables, that is what I can pass around in methods. Okay? So if I were to change something about q, when we play with Franklin, we might, for example, say that Franklin's color, there's not much I can do with these things because they don't have very many fields, right? So maybe when you play with a dog, your fur becomes their color. I don't know, right? Dogs are funky that way. So perhaps I have, let's make cues for, oh, I can't. Okay, so right now if I were to, I don't have any of the ability to show that though because they're private. Let me briefly add, let's add getters and setters for fur color. Well, let's do wait while we're at it. Okay. So I have now a get fur color and a set fur color method. So let's set Q's fur color to be color.black. Okay. So I've got a black puppy and P, who knows what color P used to be, but after he sheds, he's pink. And then they play with each other. And then if I were to do a system.out.println, I will see that Q's fur color beforehand is black, but Q's fur color afterwards will be pink. Okay? So, Q's fur color started off with 0 red, 0 green, 0 blue, that's black. But afterwards it had a lot of red, some green, and some blue, that's pink. Okay? So, although Q is still talking about the same puppy, because it was a reference to that same puppy, the method was able to change something about it. On the other hand, if we think back, I think we actually had a quiz question like this. Let's say I have a public int f method that takes two ints. Okay. And let's have it say a is 1 and b is 2 and return 3. Okay, so I make some method And in my code here, I make an int a equals 3 and int b equals 5. And I say int c, let's just say f of a and b. Let's print them out. Okay. Right, public static, because it's not part of a class. And to be polite, I'm going to include what it's going to guess for me right there, which is the name of the class the static method was defined in. Okay, so I have here a method f, which sets a and sets b and returns 3. And I'm invoking it down here. And after I invoke it, what will the variables a and b hold? It'll hold the same thing they held before. Okay? Because when I invoke f, I don't give f a and b, I give f 3 and 5. And when f changes its parameters to be different variables, it changes its parameters, a and b defined in f, not the a and b defined in main. And there is no way to give f a copy of the reference to my variables. Nothing a method can do can change what is in my variable boxes because I am passing by the value. I'm getting the value that was stored in A, not a reference to the variable A. So nothing the method can do can change the variable I had. It can only change, do something using that value. I don't know if this clarified things or not, so let's just find out. How many of you would like me to still feel confused by what I mean by pass by value, pass by reference? Several of us. Okay. Let me see if I can write something down. Pass by value. I give you a copy. Pass by reference. I let you mess with my copy. Java does this for primitives. Okay. Java does for objects. If I pass a primitive value to a method, I give a copy. You get your own copy to play with. You can't touch mine, I've got my copy. I pass by reference. I let you have my copy. You can do anything you want with it you want. And mine changes. Okay? I don't know if that helps. This is technically inaccurate, but it's very close to being true. I still am confused by pass by value, pass by reference. Oh, okay, great. All right. Please plan a UML diagram. And UML style matters. Let's actually answer that one first. Matter? Style. Answer. I don't care. Great. There are all kinds of rules about pluses and minuses and the types going after the values and colons and not giving names to parameters and your method definitions and on and on. Whatever. We'll care about that more in 2110. If you take 2110, we'll probably devote an entire lecture to the topic. But it's just not worth our effort right now. You should have a name and a type for things. And as long as I know what you're talking about, we're good enough. Please plan a UML diagram. Okay? I don't remember who asked this question. Somebody wants to tell me what class I should plan a UML class diagram for. I don't care what it is. Or do you want me to talk about how to do it instead of walking through an example? I want you to walk through an example of writing a UML class diagram. I want you to talk about how you would do it, but not actually do an example. I want you to do both. Okay, almost exactly the same number of hands for all three of those. So I guess we'll do both. How do you plan a UML class diagram? You ask yourself these questions, or at least this is how I make it. Hey, what makes one of these things different from another? What can change about one of these? What can one of these things do? What can I do to it that's associated with this thing instead of whatever else is involved? And what fields would I need to write the methods I came up with in my methods questions? Okay? I literally just walk through these questions in my head. I have done this so often, I have the questions in my head. They're not complicated questions. Okay? So let's just walk through that. Or does anybody want me to talk about these questions at all? Let me mention one other thing when designing a UML class diagram. I want my fields to represent one of these. Okay? When I'm describing something, a class, I'm describing one object. And if I need to have more of them, I'll make multiple instances, multiple objects based on this class. I almost never want to describe two objects at once when I'm describing a class. Unless the pair of them is actually what the class is called, right? So, let's do this. I don't care what we describe. Does anybody care what we describe? Okay. Somebody give me a noun. Sorry? Trash can. Okay, trash can. I'm going to describe trash cans. Okay? So, what makes one trash can different from another trash can?
Size.
We've got color, and we've got size. Int, I guess? I probably, sure, let's actually say volume, because that makes a little more sense to me. Okay. I probably should not mix and match the two ways of writing. Oh, well. What else makes one trash can different from another?
Contents.
Sure, an array list of, it turns out that all people ever throw away is integers. I bet you didn't know that, okay? Actually, let's make this like your recycling bin on your computer. So let's say it has an array list of files that you've thrown away, okay? Which probably means I don't really have a volume to, I guess I do, it's how many megabytes it can hold or whatever. It probably doesn't actually have a color, but that's all right, we'll pretend it does. So you're throwing away files. Anything else interesting about it? I don't know. Let's have a location. Let's act like this is a physical one now. We're going to put it in some room. I haven't defined the room object yet. That's fine. I'm welcome when designing UML class diagrams to make up types that don't currently exist. This is okay. Okay? If I were actually writing the code, I'd have to write the code. But for diagrams, I don't need to do that. All right, so that's what makes one different from another. The other thing I want to ask is what can change about one? Well, the contents can change, the location can change. Anything else that can change about a trash can? How about smelliness? Okay. If you don't empty your trash, the smelliness changes in a negative direction. All right, I've got my trash can. I've answered what makes one different from another, what can change about them. Time for methods. So, what can a trash can do? Stink. Okay. I'm going to say, actually, let's say when you stink, it returns a smell. Okay. I don't know what smell objects are, but we're going to pretend like they exist. Somebody said we can change their location, so I'm going to make a move to method that takes a new location, a new room. And it's probably going to return void. I should probably have an empty method. I'll say that's also void. Empty the trash. You typically don't expect to get anything back. So things trash cans can do, things I can do to trash cans, well actually moving to a room and emptying them are things I do to them, but they're related to it. Are there other things I do to trash cans? I guess I could kick the trash can, but that's probably more related to me than the trash can. I don't know. Anything else I do to trash cans? I fill the trash can. Add item, which I guess would have to be a file because we said we add files to our trash can because that's all it stores in it. Okay. Great. Here's my trash can. Done. All right. That's all our time. I'm happy to answer more questions after. I believe I've seen an announcement about another Q&A that'll be happening on Sunday. I will not be running it, but you're welcome to bring your questions there. And I will see you all on Monday.